To show you.
Dude, I haven't even had a chance to play Helldivers at all this week.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? You gotta get that catharsis out there.
I know. Shit, dude. Spread that democracy, but I just fucking can't.
Gosh.
I haven't been able to this week.
Look at us trying to play games. He's playing the real game in this fucking thing right now. You know who's playing the real game? Huh?
I wanna play a game. Yeah. That's hilarious. Good one.
I wanna play a game. Who's got a PS5? Helldivers 2?
Helldivers 2. Are you spreading that democracy, bro? I sure as hell help you with that. Helldivers 2.
Oh, actually, Jigsaw it's being an actual gamer would be fucking amazing.
Oh my god, can you believe that? Can you imagine that?
Oh, dude.
That'd be great.
It's like...
can you imagine, you're playing co-op with him online, and he's like, behind you, on your 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, on your 6, I'm throwing a grenade. With that grenade, it's like, but he sets up a trap in order for you to throw a grenade in there. He's like, in order to reach my grenade, you're gonna have to pull the string, but that string is laced with 5,000 needles for you. Can you make it in time in order to throw the grenade to kill all the bugs? There's only one way to find out.
It's like, you're lucky I'm doing this virtually. I used to do this in real life.
Oh my god. You're like, fucking John, dude. Not everything has to be a trap, dude. Just throw a grenade in there.
We're on the same team.
You fucking asshole.
Oh, I mean, that's a good transition. Fuck it. Shall we?
Let's do it.
Shall we? Yes. Hey. Hey. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Horrible People's Podcast. Yay. We are without Alex Webster today, but yep. I am still, joined by my co-host Phil Acevedo.
What up? What's up? What's up? I also too want to play a game, dude.
Yeah, me too. We're about to fucking. This is an interesting one. I am your host Anthony Fuentes, of course, and we are covering. Actually, we're gonna do another sequel this month, so this isn't the last one.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a good one too. And I gotta say, I like this one also. It's much better than Paranormal Activity 2 and Halloween fucking Kills.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
What are we talking about, Phil? What are we talking about?
We're talking about none other than Saw 2, or as I like to call it, Saw Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, that's fucking. You know what? Jigsaw would do some Electric Boogaloo shit though.
He would.
I heard you like breakdancing, and you're good at the head spin. Well, don't lose your head on this one, or else it'll be a shocking conclusion.
Henceforth, Electric Boogaloo.
He actually has to make them watch the break-in sequel. That's how he gets them.
Isn't that the one with Jean-Claude Van Damme? Wasn't he in Break-in 2?
I can't remember, was he?
Dude, he was legit in one of the break-in films. He was like an extra.
Oh, dude. It could be, because my dad is a breakdancer, so we saw the break-in movies all the fucking time. He's probably in there.
Wait a minute, dude. Does your dad still have the skills?
Oh my god, okay,
I'm just finding this out. Your dad used to breakdance?
My dad was such a good breakdancer, literally up until I think his late 30s. He would surprise all these young, coaches, football, and, other people.
Really?
He could outdance anybody, and then one time he did some move where he's spinning on his back or whatever it was, pulled his fucking shoulder.
Oosh.
He had to be in a sling for the rest of the fucking football season.
That'll do it.
Which is only a couple of weeks. I'm like, oh, it was so sad. He's like, I'm getting old.
Oh man, so that's around the age that we're in right now, so we better make sure that we don't do any breakdancing maneuvers ourselves anytime in the future. So
thankfully I'm already terrible at it, so there we go. Did not inherit that. I'll take a release date and all the bullshit. We'll get you going there.
Go for it, dude. Take it.
This motherfucker was released in the glorious year of October 28th, 2005. Holy shit. All right,
dude.
Yeah, and of course, IMDb says, a detective and his team must rescue 8 people trapped in a factory by the twisted serial killer known as Jigsaw.
Okay.
And of course, this is written by Leigh Whannell. Interesting name. Mm-hmm. And directed by Darren Lynn Bousman. Man, I'm surprised I don't know shit about this. Starring Donnie Wahlberg. Discount Wahlberg. Hey, there we go.
The other Wahlberg.
The other. I knew I was getting the Wahlberg vibes when I was watching this. I'm like, hold on a fucking second. Frankie G. Glenn Plummer. Beverly Mitchell, Dina Mayer, Shawnee Smith, and Tobin Bell.
All right.
Literally everybody besides Tobin Bell sounds like a musician or a porn star.
Right?
They just all have that fucking...
I honestly don't even know who Frankie G is, but some, there's somebody in the cast named Frankie G, and I'm like, who the hell is Frankie G?
For real, and... though. I feel like they had a lot of people that they, like, you're kind of sound and look a little like the person we actually wanted. Like, one of them was trying to be Samuel Jackson the whole fucking movie. Right?
Yeah, yeah, true, true. Oh, wait a minute. I'm talking crazy over here. Well, Dinah Meyer, she was in the first movie, and she was a detective lady. And she was also in Starship Troopers.
That's who it was. Okay. Yeah. I knew I recognized that shit. I knew it.
We see some Starship Tetes in that movie.
That's why I was felt a little neglected on this one. So this was budgeted at $4 million. I love how when Webster's not here, we go to titties within 5 minutes.
Yep. Exactly. Go straight to titties.
Straight to titties. Mm-hmm. And this one went straight to titties on its opening weekend, clearly, because this box office was $152.9 million. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a return.
That is a fucking ROI right there, baby. Dude. All right.
Did you see this in theaters?
No. This was a rental for me, actually.
Yeah. I actually saw that. I do remember seeing this in theaters. I was still in high school. And, this was pretty cool. I think me and the girlfriend at the time went to go see this, I think, at a midnight premiere or something like that. We were already 17, so we're just like, yeah, hell yeah, let's watch this.
Dude, this is
it's cool.
This is actually, this whole movie, as I was watching it, it just took me back in time. Like, this is a 2005 feel for sure.
Like, if you look at the editing, the camera shakes, the lighting, it definitely feels like an early 2000s movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, hell yeah. All right. Well, I mean, we're going to talk about it, so Phil, you want to kick us off with this shit?
Let's do it, man. And the title right here that I came up with because of a good Donnie Wahlberg over here is called The New Kid on the Block.
Oh, shit. That was a good one.
Fwenster, do you know any songs from New Kids on the Block? Because I don't. I don't know a single song from them.
There was one that I knew, but it completely escapes me because I only knew it up until it stopped being played on the radio in the 90s. Yeah. So, yeah.
They were a boy band, in case our audience doesn't know. Donnie Wahlberg, the star of this movie, used to be in a boy band in the early 90s called The New Kids on the Block. I don't know. This is, I think, a little bit before us, right? We're probably infants when they popped up in the music streams. But... I just, was Mark Wahlberg also in The New Kids on the Block? Donnie Wahlberg's brother?
Yes, I'm pretty sure they were both New Kids on the Block.
The only song that I knew about Marky Mark is This is a good vibration. Come on. Feel it. But that's the other Wahlberg. Can you imagine if it was Mark Wahlberg in this movie instead of Donnie Wahlberg? Hey, Jigsaw, I'm going to tell you right now. You better tell me where my son is at right now, okay? Because I'm really not appreciating it. You understand what I'm trying to tell you?
I was actually hoping for fucking Mark Wahlberg to be in this. Like, every time I saw Donnie, I'm like, it's not the same. I know they wanted Mark.
They did.
I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford him. They were able to afford Donnie Wahlberg, but not Mark.
God, he would actually have been pretty good in this movie, though. With your impression, I think he would have kind of killed.
Or what if you know, at the twist, you know, we find out it's not who we're going to talk about later in the episode, but it's actually Mark Wahlberg who ends up being the killer.
Oh,
and he's like,
shit.
So, hey, I bet you didn't see this coming, didn't you, huh? Well, game over. Well, game over, man. How about that? he removes the pig face mask, and he goes, I bet you didn't see this coming, huh, didn't you, bro? Oh, well, game over, man. How about that?
Oh, that's crazy. You want to see your fucking kid again? You want to see your fucking kid?
So, well, guess what? I'm the new Jigsaw now, okay? How about that, huh? Say hello to your mother for me, all right?
I was playing games with your mother last night. Oh, shit. Okay.
All right. Let's get into it.
Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a plot breakdown for Saw 2. We're going to start from the very beginning of the film. So strap in, because we're going to talk about this film, because this is a sequel to the very successful Saw 1 from 2004.
Oh, that's right.
All right. So the film starts off with a young man by the name of Michael awakening in an empty, dark room with no clue where he is or how he got there. Michael has an unknown device attached to his body, and all of a sudden a television set powers up and a tape of Billy the Puppet appears on screen. And then this is where he goes, hello, Michael. I want to play a game. I can't do a fucking Jigsaw voice. That shit is too deep.
Yeah.
Billy reveals to Michael that the device he is wearing is a death mask with razor-sharp spikes filling the interior. Billy instructs Michael that the only way to remove the death mask off of him is to extract the key from his very own eye before the timer goes off and the mask automatically snaps onto Michael's face. This is a harsh one.
This is like right first frame, too. Yeah. I'm just like, no.
Harsh one. Mm-mm. Yeah. Their television set, I didn't write it here, but in the television set, you see a figure, and that's supposed to be a hooded dark figure, and that's Jigsaw. Mm-hmm. He has Michael sedated, and he's like surgically placing the key to the lock in his eye. So he has a razor knife, and he's supposed to remove the key off of his eye, but he has to go through excruciating pain in order to get the key.
Like, I was like, don't worry, you didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, that's what I'm not worried about. Thank you. I would have remembered that, buddy. Cool.
Dude, I like how Jigsaw says, technically, I never murdered anyone. I'm like, bro, come on.
Yeah. You also, probably a crime performing illegal surgery on somebody. Yep. I think that might be another one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Michael, however, fails to do so in the little time he had and is instantly killed as the death mask retracts and shuts onto Michael's head. Killing him instantly. Yep. And next, we are introduced to Detective Eric Matthews, where he meets his partner, Detective Carey, played once again by Dina Meyer.
Feeny! Feeny! Yeah. Detention, Mr. Matthews.
He's like, all right, what do we got here, huh? He's like, why are you talking like your brother? You're Donnie, not Mark. Oh, my bad. Hey, so what do we got here, huh?
Honestly, now that I'm on the Boy Meets World kick, like, this could have been Ben and Fred Savage also.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah.
That would have been great.
When it's Jigsaw Meets World.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, the two detectives investigate the body of Michael and his new spike-filled mask. Carrie reveals that Jigsaw left Detective Matthews a message.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do we got?
Message. You have beautiful eyes, Mr. Matthews. I'd like to take you out sometime.
Are you Dirk Diggler? I'm a big fan. Oh, wait, Ron Wahlberg.
Dirk Diggler. You're the littler Wahlberg.
You're Donnie Diggler.
Donnie Diggler. Oh, Donnie Diggler's good. I like Donnie Diggler. Oh, okay, man. That's good. All right, so every day is a gift. Tony Soprano. I still need to watch Sopranos. This is lost on me. I'm sorry, Phil.
It's okay.
We can't all be perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Is that Independence Day?
That is Independence Day. I'm going to do it every time.
There you go.
The lock set on Michael's death trap revealed the location of Jigsaw. This is where Eric joins Carrie and Officer Rigg, a.k.a. Discount Samuel L. Jackson, and his SWAT team to a factory where they apprehend John Kramer, the Jigsaw Killer, and then not the Seinfeld Kramer, which would have been very interesting, too.
Hey, Jerry, hey, you want to play a game, huh?
What, I trapped like four fucking people. It's fine. Hey, I don't know where the other four came from. All right. Well, Jigsaw points out a few computer monitors showing eight people trapped in a house. Oh, mm-hmm. The real world. The victims trapped in the house. I had sex with Katie, too.
I had sex with Katie, too, man.
What do you all have in common? Oh, shit. You all fuck Katie?
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm having too much fun with this fucking movie. All right.
He's like, no, Jigsaw, you had sex with me too. Correction, I had sex with Katie too.
Okay. That was good. That was good. Wow. I lost my fucking spot after that one. All right. It's a 2005 movie. Yep. We're going to reference Chappelle Show. That's how that's going to work. We're going to do mostly...
Chappelle Show was on top of the world during this time.
Oh, right, I'm telling you, dude. Oh, yeah. When I was watching this, it took me back. Like, it really took me back, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the victims trapped in the house include Eric's teenage son and Amanda, who was a survivor of Jigsaw's traps from the previous film. And I will say, Eric and his son's relationship is exactly like Danny and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's like a one-to-one fucking comparison.
Oh my god, that
it's,
is good.
Right? He's like, Danny, Danny! And he fucking just bounces out. But imagine gets fucking caught by Jigsaw 2 instead of the Foot Clan.
Oh my god, dude.
What a different... Yeah, what a different fucking movie.
Dude, wow. The kid even kind of looks like Danny, too.
He does, right? He's got that doofusy fucking, like, slack-jawed face a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Good call. Wow.
Oh, man. That just came up right now.
That's hilarious.
We've seen that movie way too... I think me and you have seen that movie drunk, like, 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
Leo's in particular.
Yeah, together? Oh, yeah. At least. But I've seen that movie, like, unlimited amount of times.
Oh, absolutely. We wore out that VHS for sure. I know, right? Yep. Jigsaw's like, Mr. Matthews, all fathers love their sons.
I know who you are, Orokusaki.
Okay. Oh, well, Jigsaw reveals to Eric that and the police that there's a chemical agent filling the house that will kill all the victims in 2 hours. Unless Eric follows the rules. Ooh. If Eric participates in Jigsaw's game, he is assured that he will find his son in a safe place. Good pun there, Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eric agrees to go along with Jigsaw's game with hopes of buying time for Carrie and the police to trace the source of the video signal. Mm-hmm. But using the good old VPN, which we're not sponsored by, but NordVPN will help you out with any kind of crimes that you're going to use that require some kind of direct internet signal right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
also, survival insurance should do it, too. For your vehicle.
Absolutely. Now, if this all goes to hell, they would need to be insured. That's good. So while the police work in tracing the stream, Eric and Jigsaw sit and have a chat. Jigsaw reveals to Eric that when he was diagnosed with cancer, he tried to take his own life. And when John's sudden suicide attempt failed, he found a new appreciation for life. He really took that direction, a very different direction than most people would. Mm-hmm. It's like, no painting class for me. I'm going to paint with bodies. Sean mentions to Eric that his games are an intention to help his victims form the same appreciation. Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. It's a little fucking weird, but okay. All right, Jigsaw, you do your thing.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, you know what? Life is actually kind of beautiful, and I'm going to force that philosophy onto everybody.
Couldn't he just help us plant a garden or something? I was never good at gardening. I was never good at that. That's actually it.
Instead, I'm going to make death traps.
Yeah, I was really good at death traps when I was younger, actually. So it's a much bigger game now. It's really, really fun.
All right. Anyways, A Needle in a Haystack is the title of this one. All right. Here, let's see what this one's about, huh? Meanwhile, back at the house, the group gets affiliated as they learn more about Jigsaw's game. Cryptic clues about the antidote needed for the chemical agent are laid out for the victims. However, one of the victims, Gus, completely ignores a warning note and uses one of the provided keys.
Mm.
This triggers a revolver attached to a door to go off, killing Gus right where he stood.
I mean, he looked like the kind of guy that gets killed immediately.
Oh, yeah.
He just had that look.
Oh, yeah. He died within, like, the first, like, 5 minutes after waking up all sedated and stuff.
Yeah, it's like he's like, making such a fuss. And he seems too eager. He did. Yeah.
It made sense that he was the first one to go out, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so after Gus dies from the gunshot, a door opens and the group struggle to find a legit exit out of the house.
Mm.
But they find a basement, however. Another victim in the group, Obi, reveals that he actually helped with abducting everyone, but he had no idea that he was going to be included in this sick and twisted game. He ends up getting burned alive in a furnace trap as he attempts to obtain 2 antidotes.
That's why you don't answer ads on Craigslist.
Yep.
That's exactly why you don't do this.
Good note.
You never know. You really never know. You'll be in a furnace. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and Dude, we're talking about early 2000s Craigslist. It was the sketchiest of sketch. I mean, it's still this sketchy. Is Craigslist still alive? Like,
it's still alive. It's still functional for a lot of people. But yeah, back then, that was STD Central right there. Even if you were just moving some fucking boxes or something. Yeah,
big time.
That's why you go to Home Depot to get your movers over there. You're fine.
Yep. That's funny. All right. I like how, like, this is kind of like a video game. It's like, hey, there's a poison going on in the air, and there's antidotes laid out all over the house. Except you have to fucking go through all these death traps.
I did not even think, dude.
It's kind of like a video game.
It is. They pull the key out of the fucking, and they're like, da na na na. Fucking Zelda chime comes in, dude.
See, man, dude. Gamer Phil, dude, once again.
There you go.
I play video games. I do not.
I fly. I'm pilot.
I'm pilot. Oh, God. I co-op. I game. Anyways, later another trap is laid out to the group. This time they have 2 minutes to retrieve a key to a steel door located in a pit full of syringes.
No joke here.
Xavier tosses Amanda into the pit of syringes and has her dig through in order to find the key. And then ultimately, the key is found by a freaking miracle, like a needle in a haystack, literally. Mm-hmm. But it cost Amanda so many spikes and piercings and needles. But she found the key. Ultimately, Xavier fails to unlock the door on time, however.
Yeah, can we
what a scene. Man.
Yeah, this scene always sticks out to me. It's nobody dies, but I literally can never watch it. Like, I keep looking up, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever I think of this movie, and I don't think about it often, to be honest, but whenever Saw 2 does get brought up, I legitimately and naturally go to this scene.
Yeah.
This is, I think this is like the highlight of this. I actually remember seeing this scene in theaters, and I was like, oh, fuck.
I can't even imagine.
That was rough. Oh. Like, yeah, dude. We'll talk about that scene, how they made that later on in the episode.
Dude, wait, so, was that in Movel? Yeah. Did you watch it?
I did. I was already living in Movel at the time, man.
I will tell you, man, Movel theaters, I don't know why that crowd gets fucking hype. Every movie I watch in Movel, people just lose their fucking minds.
Dude, yeah. This was at the, now it's known as the Galaxy Theaters off of Alessandro, but back then it was just known as the Mission Grove Theaters.
Yeah, and, there you go.
Very nice theater. It still is. Like, I recently went there not too long ago.
I haven't seen it in a long time, man.
Movel movie theaters.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, dude, insane-ass scene, and we'll talk about how they made that scene later on.
Oh, I'm with it.
Very interesting how they did that. Anyways, Fwen, talk to us a little bit more about this plot breakdown. What else is going on, dude?
Real quick, Xavier's a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Was he I think he was like a drug dealer, right?
Something's wrong with his medulla oblongata, dude. Yeah. Like, fuck. He's like the most gym bro, like just fucked up one. And I'm like, damn, you're just
jacked on testosterone.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, you're one of the brown boys too. You're representing us right now. Oh, buddy.
I know. He's a real piece of shit.
He is.
He was legit like the horse's ass of the group. I think also the woman too, the dark haired woman, I think her name was Addison or something. She was also kind of a jerk.
She was kind of a jerk, but she seemed more selfish than anything else compared to everybody else. Yeah. She was just
Xavier was like that macho alpha male bullshit type of douchebag that we still see.
I think we see them a little more now. Now they have like IG accounts, and you see them in the comment sections all the fucking time. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Jesus.
This one, dude stuck his neck out for no one, as the title reads right there.
Yep.
As the group continues with Jigsaw's game, they learn more and more about one another. The group learns that everyone, except Daniel, Eric's son, has been incarcerated before. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the factory with Eric and Jigsaw, Jigsaw reveals his affiliation with Eric. Eric was once a corrupt police officer who used to set up and frame his suspects in various crimes, as a Wahlberg does.
Yep. Hey, let me tell you something, right? You're going to take the fall on this one, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk out scot clean.
If Donnie Wahlberg was in The Departed, he would definitely not be the one to stand up. No, not at all. No.
No way.
Back at the house, Xavier finds a number marked on the back of Gus's neck. Ooh. He realizes that each person in the group has a number on the back of their necks, and that is to be the combination to the safe containing the antidote. Oh, he's That's the fucking Zelda chime comes in right there.
Yep.
Yep. Xavier grows mad and kills Jonas, who is like the voice of reason, like the rehabbed guy. He's like, you guys have got to do this. I was in the pen, but I'm good now. And then fucking Xavier's just like, done. Yep. And begins hunting the rest of the group. Lara discovers Daniel's identity, but dies from too much exposure to the chemical nerve agent. Yeah, and then she just, ugh. Yeah, and of course Daniel is that the son, right?
Oh my god, and his name is Daniel.
It's Danny.
Like Danny. Oh my god, that is hilarious.
Lots of these fucking ruffian-ass white kids named Danny. Like, that is that like a common juvie name right there? What's going on,
Or maybe the filmmakers of Saw 2 are just big fans of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's got to be some overlap over there. Yeah. Like, I know how I can honor my favorite movie growing up. Wow. Anyways, meanwhile, Addison finds a glass containing an antidote. Oh, this one sucked too. Her arms ultimately get caught in the openings of the box and get viciously cut through razor-sharp blades. And boy, do her screams fucking create a sense of fear throughout the rest of the scenes. They're really good. They're brutal.
You noticed this too. Okay, so I, in order to prep for this episode, I rewatched this movie. I haven't seen this movie in years, dude. I want to say at least 15 years.
Dude, maybe even more. 15, maybe more, yeah.
Yeah, and then so, because I think I've only seen this movie once, and that was probably back when it was in theaters in 2005. it was definitely need a rewatch. When I was watching it, I watched it through YouTube, and I'm sitting on my couch, and then I noticed this scene with the glass box, and her screams, my God, they're like brutal. Dare I say underrated screams in a horror film?
Absolutely.
Because they felt pretty real, where I'm just like, this is kind of terrifying to listen to. I like, if I was in that room, I would like cover my ears because of how like traumatizing those screams sound.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they cut to Daniel and Amanda's reactions to it happening. Yep. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I feel you guys. I feel you. That's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then the scene, too, of her arms stuck in this glass box with razor-sharp blades.
Yeah.
It's just a horrifying, you know, thing to see. Say what you will about this movie, but stuff like imagery like that, it was like, oh, fuck, dude. And then plus, of course, the syringe pit.
Yeah.
That, too.
It's a wincing kind of movie. Like, you're just like, I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think of all the Saw films, this one gets me in that kind of way for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think 3 is just gross. But yeah. We'll get
to rewatch that. I had to rewatch that one too. I've only seen it once.
I saw that one in theaters also. I think it was like maybe 2 times I've seen it. But then this one too, I'm surprised I've only seen it like maybe once or twice. Yeah. So this is number 3 for sure. But of course, as Xavier attempts to hunt down the remaining folks of the group, Amanda and Daniel discover a secret passage that leads to the tunnel. Mm. It was so like happenstance too. They're just like, okay, well, fuck, I guess it's fucking way out.
I guess we'll follow this tunnel here.
This tunnel takes Amanda and Daniel to the very same rundown bathroom from the first Saw film, which did blow my 18-year-old mind right there.
Yeah.
We see the hacksaw that was used by the victims of the trap, and even catch a glimpse of Adam's rotting corpse. Ooh, Easter egg right there.
Even hear the music, right? Din din din.
Yes. Yeah, it does give us a little bit of that, too. Mm-hmm. Xavier enters the room and has Amanda and Daniel cornered. Amanda tells Xavier that she and Daniel will not reveal the number located behind his neck. This is where a desperate Xavier takes the knife and cuts out a chunk of his skin. Now he knows his number. Ooh.
That part was pretty brutal, too. It was ridiculous, but I was just like, okay, this guy's cutting a square off of his neck just so you can read the number.
Right? It's a little perfect square, too. It's just like, oh, shit. Way to go, buddy. Your culinary skills would have been fantastic if you changed your life direction there. Yeah, absolutely.
Good call.
Ugh. Yeah. Daniel picks up the hacksaw and slits Xavier's throat. Hey, boom. Get him, buddy. Ninja Turtles Danny would have never done that. That guy had no balls compared to
him. Oh, yeah. No.
And you have no one to go to, Danny? And you can't slice a man's throat, Danny?
Oh, man. All right, so let's continue over here. Mm-hmm. My title goes, She is the game.
Oh my God, Phil, you don't have IG right now, but when I put the preview post for this one, I literally put Motorhead's the game.
Stop.
I did.
No way.
I put it as the song for the story.
Are you serious?
I did. I fucking 100% did.
Wow, dude. I hate that we have like almost the
we
same
have the
brain.
Same exact fucking wow. That's awesome. I'm going to do it again.
That's all right, dude. Go for it, dude. Time to play the game. All right. So after seeing all of this through the monitors, Eric takes matters into his hands as he beats the living shit out of Jigsaw and forces him to take him to his son.
You have nothing to threaten me with all your strength.
I was thinking the same shit, too. This is before The Dark Knight, too. Yeah.
Only by a few years, though. No, actually, yeah. Not that much. Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think about that.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine Mark Wahlberg as Christian Bale's Batman beating the shit out of Jigsaw?
Oh, my.
It's like, hey, where are they, huh? You gotta tell me where they are, huh?
Hey, where are they?
You know what? Let me put my Batman voice out there. Hey, where are they, huh? Where are they?
That's a good Mark Wahlberg, Batman, Christian Bale voice. That's a lot of layers right there, Phil.
I don't know how I did that.
Mark Wahlberg impression. I think you got some versatility there with them.
I know. It sucks because, like, Donnie Wahlberg, this is how much of a discount Wahlberg is, dude. You can't even make a good impression of a Donnie Wahlberg because there is nothing to impress.
No.
Oh man. Anyways, I think he's like the older brother, I think, right?
Maybe.
Is Donnie older than Mark? I think he is.
He looks like he could be. He looks like he would be the older
brother. He's currently like on a cop talk show. I think it's like NYPD Blue. No, it's something. It's a cop show.
Wow.
But yeah, he's currently on that right now. Anyways, so let's go back to Eric beats the shit out of Jigsaw and he forces him to take him to his son. So this is where Eric and Jigsaw take off and they drive off to the location of the house in order to find Eric's son. Mm-hmm. And Jigsaw is being like suspiciously cooperative. He's like, okay, what you want to do is you want to go through that door and then you're going to go through this one room and then you'll find your son and blah, 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 blah. So he's like being suspiciously cooperative. Mm-hmm. He's helping Eric find his son here. So back at the Jigsaw hideout, Carrie and the SWAT team make a crazy discovery as it is revealed that the feed that they thought was a live broadcast was actually pre-recorded days before.
Oh, they're like, what? Is that a fucking eject button?
Yeah. Dude, not the brightest cops you've ever seen. They're really not. Mm-mm. Dude, they got taken out really quick in the very beginning. We didn't even talk about this. They got like at least three SWAT officers were taken out in a cage. I'm like, the lights turned on to the cage. Don't go in the cage because that's obviously a trap. And they obviously go in there and then one dude got his knees taken out or something like that. It was crazy. Like,
gong. Yep. Gong, gong.
Yep. That's funny. So like the whole time they're just like, there's something wrong. We can't find the source to this live stream or something like that. And they're like, we'll keep looking. And
we'll find his Twitch channel. We'll check all the usernames.
And I'm just like, even, I don't know, man. Maybe because I was getting into TV and video productions already at the time. Like, I remember as a kid thinking, like, what if this is already recorded? Just eject the tape. I'm sure this is. And then, like, nobody, no, not one police officer thought about that. Like,
right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, this is. Remember, we were the generation that would, like, fix the VCR for the family and shit. So this is. They're all older by this point. They definitely are not those guys.
You know what? Good call. Good call. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So after it's revealed that this is actually pre-recorded days before the SWAT team even entered Jigsaw's hideout, a timer goes off and Carrie finds a safe opening on its own.
Mm.
This reveals that Eric's son Daniel has been inside the safe the whole time, bounded and breathing through an oxygen mask.
Shit.
And of course, back at the house, Eric has no idea of any of this as he enters the house with hopes to find his son.
You promise Jigsaw that he's over here? Yeah, just keep going that way. Yeah.
Yeah, just keep going. I promise you, you're going to find your son over there. I promise you.
Yeah, it's fucking like fucking like De Niro. Just go over there. Just go over there.
No, you got to go in there. Go in there. Keep going. You're all right. No. I'll turn around. No, go.
I'm going home now.
No. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
That's hilarious. Oh, man. And then Jigsaw, when he finds out that, like, he left, he's all slamming the freaking phone, and he beats the shit out of a fucking phone booth. Stupid fucking Wahlberg. Doesn't follow instructions. Oh, my God. Anyways, oh man, so much fun. I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Eric makes his way down the tunnel and into the rundown bathroom. And there's nobody there, except he finds, like, you know, somebody inside this bathtub.
Mm.
And as he creeps closer and closer to the bathtub, he takes a look inside the bathtub. And out of nowhere, he is viciously attacked by a pig-masked figure.
Oh, boom. Shit.
This pig-masked figure, like, I'm assuming, knocks him out with some kind of syringe, and he makes him pass out instantly. And Eric wakes up and is shackled by his ankle to a pipe. And Eric discovers a tape recorder left in the bathroom, and he switches it on. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. And to everyone's surprise, Amanda is on the tape recorder, and she reveals that she has been Jigsaw's accomplice and has been helping him with all of his traps ever since surviving her own trap back from Saw 1.
Oh.
Amanda reveals that she will be carrying Jigsaw's work after he dies.
She's like, what if I die? I will do whatever you ask of me.
Basically, Amanda, oh, how about this? Basically, Amanda has now turned into Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, shit. There you go. There you go.
So Amanda appears at the door of the bathroom and gives Eric a cryptic game over and seals the door, leaving Eric to die.
Oh, damn. Shit.
Mm-mm. And outside, back at the car where we left Jigsaw in the car, we find Jigsaw hearing Eric's screams, and he slowly breaks out a creepy smile. The camera backs out. We fade to black. Cue in the Saw theme song. Din, din, din.
Din, din, din. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is the plot breakdown for Saw 2.
I think we did a pretty good job. Oh, there we go.
That was fun.
I forget. That's actually a fun movie to talk about now that I think about it.
It is. It is a fun... We're going to talk more about it in just a bit. But after watching it, you know, it's a cool movie. I had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those sequels where you just kind of have to turn off your brain. It's a little campy.
You really got to turn off your brain, though.
Yeah.
Like, that,
oh,
yeah. For real.
Yeah, but don't overthink it.
Don't,
these movies.
No.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the first one, I don't think you'd have to turn off that much, but this one, I'm just like, okay, I'm here for the spectacle. It's fucking spectacle. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we'll talk more about our thoughts on this later on, but first, Fuencerino, talk to us a little bit about the production for Saw 2.
Let's learn how this bitch was made. Let's go. Exactly,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Once they got turned down for the breakdancing rights for the title. to no one's surprise, of course, Saw 2 was immediately greenlit after the success of the first film. Listen to our episode on that. It was hugely successful.
Nice.
James Wan and Lee Whannell were too busy to shoot Saw 2, so the studio brought in Darren Lynn Bousman to direct the picture.
Yeah, so to go deeper into that, James Wan was working on the film Dead Silence at the time.
Oh, I forgot about those fucking dolls.
I've never seen that.
No,
and I know of the movie. I know it's been around for a long time. I remember AD seeing that. Like, he went to go see it, and the next day he's like, dude, have you seen that movie Dead Silence when it was still out in theaters back then? And I'm like, no. He's like, bro, that shit scared the fuck out of me. It's a scary-ass movie. And I never ended up seeing it. I just know it's about these dolls or something like that, right?
No, same. I actually always would see the trailers and the TV spots, but dolls scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So I just didn't do it. Like, I just didn't watch it. I'm like, it's probably good for someone else.
It looked like a rated R version of, like, Night of the Living Dummy from Goosebumps.
That's exactly what like, the third one, right? With all the dolls in the fucking attic and shit.
Exactly,
yes.
Like that, yeah.
Wow. Well, good. Yeah. Dude, I was thinking the same shit. Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Dude, we have the same brains. And I hope that's the only thing we have
yeah.
That's similar, because If I talk about more other organs, that's where we unite.
It's the arms, isn't it? It's the arms. I get it. No, I know.
Oh, well, that's yeah, that's yeah, those two. Yeah, yeah, those two.
No, we have the same arms, everybody. We have the exact same arms. Yeah.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we
no,
do.
Don't.
No, so yeah, pay we no do. Attention we do, to this Phil. Man. We had the same arms.
Pay no attention to this man.
However, James Wan and Lee Whannell gave the script a nice polish in order to welcome the sequel into the Saw universe. Hey. Move it on there. Hey.
There you go. Quick question, dude. If you have the same arms, dude, what are the name of your biceps? Do you name your biceps? You don't name your biceps?
I don't need to name my fucking biceps.
Dude, if you got some guns, you got to name them, dude. All right, here's the name of mine. Left bicep is Paddington 1, and right bicep is Paddington 2, dude.
I got you. Yeah. I got
you. What you got? What you got, dude?
Left one is the Cobra from Santino Marella, and the right one is Mr. Sacco. All hand shit, dude.
Look
all,
at you, dude.
All hand covers right look there, baby. You. That's right. That's hand finishers.
Good. That's good. I like that. Anyways, yeah, let's get back to this.
Cast and crew members were only given the first 88 pages of the script and were made to sign confidentiality agreements so that no plot details, including the ending, were to be revealed.
Yeah. So, like, James Wan and the producers, like, they knew they were pretty much doing what they did with Empire Strikes Back,
mm-hmm.
where it's like they're not going to reveal to anybody, like, even like Mark Hamill knew minutes before filming that I was like, oh shit, Darth Vader's his fucking father.
Yeah,
so they were kind of doing the same thing here, and this is crazy. Like, all cast and crew members were only giving the entire script except for like the last two pages,
dude. So. And I know you said Mark Hamill, but I thought you said Mark Wahlberg for a second. Like, Mark Wahlberg was informed that Darth Vader was Luke's father back
during the Empire Strikes Back.
He's not even on set.
Hey, so you're telling me that this guy's my father? Oh my God.
Wow.
It's like, can you imagine? He's like, Mark Hamill, I am your father. That's not true. That's impossible. No! No! No, there's no way. There's no way this man could be my father. No, no way. Han Solo, he's like my brother, right?
No, it's... We're gonna have a lightsaber... It's my big lightsaber right now. We're gonna start right...
Could you imagine if Mark Wahlberg's gonna Return of the Jedi and he finds out that Leia's his sister? He's like, wait a minute. I've been making out with her this whole time. You mean telling me she's my sister?
God, thank God she led me to third base off.
Damn. Holy shit, man. We was about to go at it, you know? It was like Julianne Moore in Boogie Nights or something.
I was just
you know?
About to get off this spaceship and it was going to go down.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So, heavy Mark Wahlberg episode for a Donnie Wahlberg film.
I know, right?
Yeah. Anyways, additionally, four or five endings were shot in order to keep the ending a surprise. And I'm pretty sure for the rest of the Saw movies, they did this because I know there were DVD special features.
That oh,
for
nice.
Sure was
Very
a thing.
Cool.
Yeah,
I did not know that. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Production designer David Hackle took 3 weeks to construct 27 different sets on a single sound stage. Ready to go, buddy.
I thought that was pretty good. That's impressive. And then dude, like, if you watch the entire movie, it's all like the same sound stage, but just all these multiple different sets within a 3 week period. That's very impressive.
That's
27
yeah.
sets.
And it really does have this, like, funhouse feel to it, but, like, what really fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
So
even when they're driving, like, dude, like, when when Donnie Wahlberg is driving Jigsaw, it's obviously on a soundstage, the lights and stuff like that. It's very good acting from Donnie to make it look like he's driving, but it's, like, they did the same thing in Saw 1 where they're just, like, it's, you know, they're obviously not, it's a fake background.
Yeah.
It's just like a very dark background, and they're making it look like they're driving at night. And yeah,
hey Matthews, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Mark. Yeah. King. Yeah.
You're the only one singing. You're the only one singing.
Anyways, how's your burger?
Dude, that Mattel shit was so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyways, yeah. For the syringe needle pit scene, hey, Shawnee Smith's character is tossed into a pit full of needles to find the key. In order for this stunt to be performed safely, four people over the 4 days removed the needle tips from the syringes and replaced them with fiber optic tips. Over, 120,000 fake needles were produced for the needle pit scene.
Yeah,
holy
dude.
Shit.
This was nuts. And what was crazy is that they over 120,000 fake needles were used, and that was still not even enough. So they actually had to fill the pit with styrofoam and other materials to make it look like there's more needles in there, not just, like the director was like, it's not enough needles. It's like, dude, we have over 120,000. It's like, it's not enough. It still doesn't look enough. We need to make more. So they made like styrofoam looking syringes and stuff like that.
Damn,
just to make it look more. So like, and then also to dive in more, there's shots of like these syringes like impaling, onto her arms,
in her,
right?
In her body, yes.
Yeah, those were fake arms that they were used. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, fake arms. Her real arms were like behind the fake arms. Like, you know, they're like, they just attached the fake arms to her t-shirt. And then the ones attached to her pants, she had padding underneath her clothes. And some of the needles, they weren't real syringes, but they were like, they replaced them with like something that's going to attach to the clothing.
Oh, I see.
In order to protect Shawnee Smith, she had padding underneath her clothes too, and fake arms.
Damn. That was very effective filmmaking right there. Okay.
Dude, it looked real, right? Like, even as a kid, I'd be like, how do they do that? And
I don't even want to think about it, honestly. Yeah. Honest.
Yeah. Movie magic. Yeah,
movie magic. There you go. There you go. Well, Phil, how was this movie received?
All right. So, reception time. Here we go. Saw 2 made its way into theaters on October 28th, 2005, and it made a shit ton of money. Let's see how this needle-infested sequel performed amongst the people. All right, here we go. Over on Rotten Tomatoes, Saw 2 holds a 37% on the tomato meter with a 59% audience score. The website states, Saw 2 is likely to please the gore-happy fans of the original, though it may be too gruesome for those not familiar with the first film's premise. Okay.
Why would you watch Saw 2 if you just part 2? Just watch Saw 1 before, buddies. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Blockbuster 2005.
Yeah, I don't think they understood the assignment over here.
No, they did. It made a lot of money, so a lot of people, I think, did.
All right, let's see. Over on Letterboxd, Saw 2 holds a 3.15 average based off of 285K ratings.
Holy, that's pretty fucking good.
285,000, dude.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Damn.
Yeah, there was quite a few that I found. Some were okay. I was trying to look for some funny ones. Every time I try to pull up some Letterboxd review, I try to find like the funniest ones I can, or some cool ones that are funny. But Saw 2 Letterboxd is kind of meh, I guess.
I don't know.
So here's some of the best ones I was able to find.
Okay.
So Megan Bitchell,
just a name.
With 2 stars, says, I like the montage at the end where they show us everything that happened in the entire movie just to make sure we got it. Two stars.
That's an early 2000s move right there for sure. Yeah,
it really was. Dude, a lot of these reviews are actually kind of old, like from like 2020, 2019 and stuff like that. I think the newest one, the most recent one I was able to find was from like 2021, I think. 2021.
Oh, sure. All right.
And let's continue here. Jay with 3 stars says, Jigsaw the type to traumatize you, then pay for your therapy after to cope with the trauma.
Right? It's like, you'll appreciate life now. Here's a medical professional.
I'll take the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Bryony?
It's Bryony. It's an Australian name, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice name. With 4 stars, says, Amanda's haircut in this really was a win for the lesbian community.
Oh, Webster would have got a kick out of that one.
Yeah, it was. It was super early 2000s hairstyle, too. I wish she had it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when, like, emo chicks had, like, that look. They had the bangs, and they had the short hair in the back, and, I remember that hairstyle a lot in the...
And listeners, by the way, Webster's not here today. She is also playing a game, and we hope she escapes with her life. We just hope she escapes with her life. I think she's okay. She's got a good cut on her jib there. She'll be fine. But, we're just waiting to see what happens.
And this is my favorite one right here. Nadia with 2.5 stars says, the Saw theme stays on during sex.
I've read that before you finished it. That's a good... The Saw theme stays on during sex. That's good. Wow.
Oh, man. It's like, honey, tonight... He's like, oh, what do you want to listen to? Some Boyz II Men, some Luther Vandross? How about the Saw theme? Ooh, you're feeling frisky, huh? Okay. And then, like, things start getting hot and heavy. You just hear, dan, 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 dan,
dan, dan, dan. Why am I restrained right now?
Because I want to play a game, buddy.
Okay, please take the mask off. Please take the mask off.
Oh, God. But yeah, so that pretty much covers a lot. This is going to be a short episode, guys.
That's fine. I'm with it. Let's go.
That pretty much covers Saw 2 from plot breakdowns to reception and even some production facts that I was able to dig up here. We've come to discussion time now.
All right.
Fwenser. Dude, let's hear some, what are your thoughts on Saw 2, man?
Dude, I actually really had a good time with this fucking movie. I can't deny that, like, it really was, I don't know, it really brought me back to the days of, like, renting a video and, I don't know, fucking, like, Batman Begins and, Revenge of the Sith were at the same time. So this is part of,
that's right.
Like, an era of filmmaking that I was coming into my own and loving just going to the movies. And I was out of high school. You were senior year. I was out of high school already. And it was, I don't know. It really took me back to 2005, like Linkin Park and shit. Like the whole thing all really came together for me. I don't know why. I've seen this movie maybe two times, but it gave me such a nostalgia because I think it's just the Saw series really was strong in this era. Like I would say up until 4. We would see them in theaters and, like, you know, just really it was a spectacle, it was an event. And this movie made me realize, like, it was created like it was an event movie. There was always something happening. It's so fast. This movie does not slow down at all. And I actually, that's something I really appreciate about it. It's not a slow movie in any sense of the word. It's directed a little shittily, though, I would say, compared to the first one. It's not good direction. Like, I don't like how it's directed. I think the flash cuts and, like, if you're seizure prone, don't watch this movie. Yeah. It's not worth it in that way.
Somebody on Letterboxd says that this was edited like a fan cam.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, that's really true.
Exactly. I gotta say, Tobin Bell, though, fantastic performance as Jigsaw. He did a really good job. Like, I was fuck, every time he says something, I'm just hanging on every fucking word that he has. The characters are really dumb, but if you're a fan of horror, dumb people dying is fun. And this movie gives you a lot of... it gives you 8 bodies. And, well, the kid kind of makes it, but then everybody else is kind of fucked anyways. And, you know, police officers, whatever it is. So, like, you know, there's a... dumb people dying is super cool when it's done effectively. And this movie does it very good. I don't know. I had a great time with it. It's obviously not, like... I don't know. There's not a lot of polish here. It's rough. It's janky in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But it has such heart. It's how you do a sequel, I think, because they're not going to make it as quality as the first movie. But they did their own thing, and I think they succeeded. It's really one of the better horror sequels for me. What do you think?
Yeah. So, like, I think you hit some really great notes there, and I agree with a lot right there. This came out in the last 20 years. I've noticed that, like, a lot of horror franchises... it's really easy to release the sequel to your first film on an October, you know, like a year later. Like, you see that I have experience with it in the last 20 years just with Saw, and then we saw this with The Conjuring, and then we saw this with other films too, like other horror franchises, where it's like, hey, they got a successful first movie, let's make a sequel literally like a year later, like, and release it during the spooky season. That's just smart marketing, you know. It's really good. I think you would have probably had a much better quality of a film if you just waited 2 years instead of 1 year. I mean, like, I literally, I don't think they had planned for a sequel, right? In the first
No. They just saw major success. Accidental franchise. Yeah,
it just blew up immediately. So they're just like, let's make a sequel. And I think as a sequel, like, it was fine. It's a fine movie. It's fine. They're learning more about the production side really made me grow an appreciation for it, especially the 27 sets used for one single soundstage. I think it's a cool movie.
Yeah.
It's fun. I enjoyed it watching. I haven't seen this movie in shit. I mean, well, this came out in 2005, dude. We're talking almost 20 years ago, dude.
Dude, it's you're right, though.
Yeah, in October, it'll be 19 years since this came out, and I just can't believe it. That's just like, time is moving way too fucking fast. But anyways, this is a cool movie. I like the twist at the end, too, like, because I remember as a kid watching this, and I was like, oh, shit, dude, Amanda, holy shit, damn, I did not know she was going to be a fucking heel. She turned heel, dude.
She did, dude.
Yeah. And I thought that was nuts.
She
and
fucking finger-poked of doomed us, dude. Yeah.
I thought this was the action was really cool. The filmmaking itself, I think you're right on that one too. It was very lackluster. The editing, there's some wild editing choices that were made here, and I'm just like, okay, yeah. Like this was approved. Okay,
it's garbage.
But I'd be lying if I told you I didn't have a good time watching this, revisiting this, because it's been such a long time. It was cool. All these eight strangers trapped in a house with all these traps laid out inside the house, and it's like a race against time. It felt very, very much like the first Saw movie, and I think this kind of just spawned all the elements that we're to see in future Saw films, you know. And
yeah,
I think this kind of laid out plans for the other ones. I will admit, I only went as far as Saw 3. I don't even think they made what, 4 or 5? How many of those are there?
The initial run was up to 7. And then they added, I think they're up to 10 now?
No shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I only...
Saw X is 10.
I think I only stopped at 3, to be honest. Holy shit, there's 10 of them?
Yeah, I would say 4 was good, though. 4 was... Really? And then I remember seeing 5, or starting to watch 5, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing this. This is fucking whack. God.
I didn't even notice there was 10 of them. Holy fuck. Yeah. Did you see Spiral, the one with Chris Rock?
Did not see Spiral, no.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. It was really interesting because I was like, oh, this is like a spinoff. Okay, with Chris Rock. Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. There was, holy shit, there was 10 movies.
Wow.
Spiral's number 9. Saw 8 was the final chapter. Or Saw 7 was the final chapter. Mm-hmm. Just like Jason. And then it moved on after that.
Dude, and they just like, and these were dropping every year on October, huh?
They would drop every year until 2010. Year. Then they took a 7-year break, and then that one flopped. And then they went with Spiral, and that one kind of flopped a little bit too.
7-year break, holy shit!
But then Saw 10, Saw X was a big hit. Mm-hmm. That was a big hit. So
the one that just came out, right?
Yeah, that one just came out.
Didn't it come out like a year ago or something?
Something like that. Yeah, it was 2023, and yeah, people, that one made a lot of money.
With Tobin Bell,
that's. Yeah, Tubb Bell was in there too. What, I guess. That's
fucking awesome. Dude, like any, you know, I'll find out. I'll make an attempt to watch all the Saw films. Because I think, I don't know, you're kind of selling me here. I have heard from other people that 4 is actually fucking awesome.
4's fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard this from other people.
I would just say it drops off. So, yeah, Spiral was a flop. Like, they literally all flopped until 10.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. 10's a prequel, though, so.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will check that out. Okay, yeah. Cool. But yeah, no, Saw 2 was cool. I enjoyed it. It really cool action, some creepy imagery. We were talking about the woman's screams inside the glass box with the razor sharp blades. Even the very beginning with the man of the iron mask trap. I thought that was really cool too, and it was just really It's a cool sequel. You're right. There's some very dumb moments with some very dumb people here, but it's just one of those like horror sequels where you just kind of turn off your brain, don't think about this, just enjoy the ride. It's gonna be a blood fest. It's gonna be a massacre.
Yeah.
And I was kind of here for that. That's all I was expecting.
It's like a Big Mac. You know. You're like, Big Mac's not good for me, but I'm kind of feeling a Big Mac right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna scarf this bitch down. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I got a question for you, dude. What was your favorite trap from this movie?
The hands.
The hands? The
hands for sure, because... No, I mean, a lot of these traps, I couldn't look away. I was able to see the fire one fine, because like, I'm like, it's just... I've seen this in a million fucking movies anyways. Mm-hmm. And then the other people just died from, like, inhaling the fucking smoke or whatever, so it wasn't that big a deal. Yeah. But the hands, I was like, girl... Don't put your other hand. I see you're not. Your mind's all fucked up right now, and you can't think straight. But that's a bad idea. It just, it kind of got me a little bit. The needles obviously got me too, but I can't say favorite because I wince every time I even think about it. So I'm gonna go ahead and just say hands.
Yeah.
How about you? I think for me
it's the needle pit, easy choice because like I mentioned earlier, like when I think of this movie, I think of that trap. I just think of Amanda getting tossed into that pit full of syringes. Like that's just like a rough image to see. And then she's digging. Not only did she like got tossed into the pit, but she's like, fuck it, I'm here. I might as well look for that key. And like she's digging through that key, and then like you see like this image of her just in excruciating pain as she comes out.
Good acting.
Mm-hmm. You know, Shawnee Smith. I looked into her career as I'm pulling up research for this episode, dude. I don't think her film career kind of like went anywhere after this, but she does make a lot of con appearances and she does like sign autographs in her booths and stuff. Dude, there's even a photo of her taking a picture with like a fan and she's wearing the trap that she wore in the first Saw movie.
Okay.
When we get introduced to Amanda.
All right, yeah, I think that nice. Way to go, Shawnee Smith.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I think the Amanda character, I'm assuming we see more of her in future films, so that's one. I think Amanda is the character that I'm like looking forward to the most when I decide to take on this franchise. Just like, I mean, if I sat around and watched all Twilight films, I think I can watch all Saw films.
It might be a slightly better use of your time. I feel like for sure.
I think Twilight was a little more painful to watch than Saw. To be in very.
It's like, you want to play a game? Why are my eyes kept open? What's going on over here? Are you marathoning the Twilight films?
I know.
I will say whatever you need me to say, sir. We will get. I appreciate life.
Like a Clockwork Orange. Where I'm just like over here tied down. Oh my god, it's just like that. So like, yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, it's fine. It's a cool movie. And favorite trap is definitely that needle trap because it just. It's excruciating, and Amanda was just a trooper for doing that.
No, actually, I changed my answer. You're right. It's the most effective trap. Oh, it's honestly the best trap. Yeah. I just, every time. I can't look. I just can't.
What was the trap? I don't remember too much of it, but I think it was Jonas. He took, like, a spike bat to the back of the head or something like that. No, it wasn't a trap.
No, it was a trap. That was just Xavier being an asshole.
Yeah, that was just straight up murder, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was murder. Right. No, that was just murder. Yeah.
Okay. And then there was the part where that one dude takes the gunshot to the eye because he didn't know there was a gun on the other side of the door.
Mm-hmm. And the furnace, too.
Oh, the furnace one. That was a pretty cool trap, too. That glass box was pretty legit, too.
Honestly, really good traps in this one, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, I think compared to the first one, they just, it's like stepped the trap game like to a 10 in this one.
They Michael Bayed it. They feel, I feel like they Michael Bayed it for sure.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they definitely did for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Fwen. We've reached the last part of this entire episode. And why don't you give us your rating for Saw 2 out of 5 syringes, dude?
Oh, my God. Ah, I don't even want to think about it. I am going to give it a 3.25 Wahlbergs.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and 3.25 Wahlbergs.
3.25.
It's not the most well-made movie, but it's good.
Yeah.
I would say it's good. I don't know how rewatchable it is, but it's good. Yeah. And it's kind of a ride. And honestly, I did the unrated version, whatever. Still only like 132 minutes. It's an hour and a half.
Easy. It was a really quick and easy hour and a half.
Or 93 minutes. I'm tripping. But yeah, very, very quick, easy hour and a half. Like, on you know, if you want to watch this on our... No, don't do it on our day. It's kind of fucked up. But like, you know, have fun with it. It's a good movie. Yeah,
exactly.
How about you? What you think?
I'm just going to go a little lower. I'm going to go 3. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's fine, dude. There's nothing mind-blowing except for like... really cool facts. Like, as I dug up info on this episode, I'm just like, oh, that's really cool. Like I said earlier, it made me appreciate it a little bit more. The script, there's some dumb people in this for sure.
Yeah.
Doing dumb people doing some dumb things. And, you know, it's one of those movies where like, oh, I would have handled the situation completely different than what these characters are doing. You know, it's one of those movies.
Definitely. They dumb. Yeah. They dumb.
Yeah. It's cool. Editing was... very wacky editing, but you know, I think they were just trying to set their own aesthetics into it. And I think this is the franchise that was trying to make a name for itself. And I think they did with the sequel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Especially when you had a very original and a big box office hit like the first one. Like, this is a franchise that was just, like, trying to, like, capitalize, excuse me, capitalize on that first one, you know? So, yeah, I think 3 was cool. It's fine. It's a fine movie. It's fine. It's not forgettable because, like, I'm telling you, like, that syringe scene has stuck with me for almost 19 years now.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, and it's, you know, every time I think of the Saw franchise, I actually think of Amanda falling into that syringe pit. Mm-hmm. So
no, you're right. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fucking, we did it, guys. We fucking did it. Yep. Another one, sans Webster, but she will be back because we're be covering. It's May. We're doing it again, guys. Monster May is here. Oh, we are going to have some fun ones. I'll be out in the back half because I will be out eating fucking tea and crumpets and all that shit in Europe.
Yeah, you are.
But, you know, until then, we'll have a couple good episodes for you on some stuff and one more sequel. Hint for the next one. It's a Nicki Minaj song. It's a John Voight movie. How about that? So... Anyways, that was it. That's it, guys. This is the Horrible People's Podcast. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram at HORROrble People's Podcast, all one word. You can find me on the NPC Gaming Podcast, also on the Horrible People's Network. That's npc.gaming.pod. We talk a bunch of shit on video games and stuff, but we are in love with Fallout, and that seems to be the run. Phil, where can people find you currently?
Yeah, I'm on, you know, I'm on the socials. I'm just haven't been on there for a while, so you can find me on Instagram. You can also follow my YouTube channel. Haven't been posting a lot either on there either, but once I decide to jump back in, I think I'll be back to post the cringiest Instagram stories you can possibly imagine anywhere on the internet. I am a heavyweight of cringe, and can't wait
that's
to
a really
share
great
it with you guys.
Username if you ever tried to capitalize
heavyweight
on that. Heavyweight of cringe for sure.
The heavyweight of cringe. Oh, I love that. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, guys. Yeah. Well, that was it. And with that, it's all about the game. And I'm playing.
Good one. Love that.
Peace.
Later.